thank you so much for letting us be here this week, Pastor Vernon, the church. It's been a blessing. Lord's allowed us to be here. Enjoyed time together, hearing the good word of God. And I appreciate the liberty to preach the word of God. It's been good to us.
Yes, sir.
Very thankful for what the church has done for us this week. Really nice place to stay. Can't reiterate that enough. I thank you for it. I've stayed in all kinds of places, and certainly I don't want to be critical. There have been a lot of churches that have done the best they could.
Yes, sir.
But I've stayed in a lot of places, especially when I was single. But I tell you what, when I got married, they had mercy on me. I stayed in all kinds of places.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not throwing off this place. You wouldn't have stayed there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I stayed in a lot of different places.
Yes, sir.
But I thank the Lord that churches have been good to me for a long time. I've been traveling a long time preaching, and I guess I'm on permanent deputation. You know, I'm not raising money for nothing, amen, but I've been traveling for, I got out of Bible school, so no, over 25 years. It's probably been longer than that.
Wow.
And the Lord's been so good to us, and we thank the Lord for it. And we really enjoyed the house this week where we stayed. And the boys had a good time out in the backyard, played a little football with them, stuff like that. And we just enjoyed that house. My wife has complimented that several times about the house. And we moved over to a nice room tonight because we wasn't able to stay till tomorrow. We moved over to some nice rooms tonight, good and clean.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Yes, sir.
And it's a blessing. Now, here's what I teach my kids, amen. I teach my kids to be thankful. And now some of you don't know me very well, even though there's been several of you been going different places and hearing Brother Tim and I preach. You may think I come across as a jerk, amen. Been a lot of jerk talk this week, amen. But you may think I come across as a jerk, but I'm going to tell you I'm a thankful one. And I teach my kids now, and I give them the responsibility, uses the girls, amen, to write notes and thank the church for what they've done for
us.
You say, I don't matter and all that stuff like that. But it does matter,
it
too.
Does matter.
And
right.
We ought to be grateful and thankful.
Yes.
You don't have to have me come. Okay? Nobody has to have me.
Right.
And then my family comes along. And that's a big burden. That's a big burden on the church that's this. And so we thank you that you are so kind to us.
Amen.
We thank God for that.
Amen.
And listen, you just keep doing what you're doing, amen. The Lord's so gracious to you. God will bless you for it. And so Brother Maury and I'm sure he'll say the same thing, on the Lord's Day, we're so thankful for every act of kindness,
amen.
All the food.
Absolutely.
Just great, amen. Been a long time, I guess, since we'd ate Pizza Hut pizza. Man, it's been a long time since we'd ate Pizza Hut pizza. And we just enjoyed that.
Thank the
Lord. Desserts you ladies made were phenomenal.
Yes, sir.
Sister Church, you didn't know she made one of my favorites, Hello Dollies, and I ate the last one.
Yeah,
amen, did. I ate the last one tonight. My mom used to make Hello Dollies, amen. And some of y'all don't even know what them are. Miss Barbara, you know what Hello Dolly is, amen. That's what Miss Church made, amen. Hello Dollies. And but then it's good cookies, amen. Thank God for that. And so we thank the Lord for it. And God's good to us, amen. So you pray for us. I do need your prayers, and I don't plan on being long before you tonight, amen. I really don't. I've got a message on my heart. And it's not really a closing message for a revival effort, but it's not closing. He's preaching here Sunday, amen. So see, that relieves all the burden off of it. But you know, I preach what God tells me to preach.
Same,
it don't matter
right,
if
no matter
it seems
what.
To feel.
Exactly right.
Because a lot of times in revival efforts, I'll preach on the second coming.
Sure.
A lot of times. On the last night of the meeting or something having to do with
sure.
it. If you look in 1 Thessalonians, and this will maybe whet your appetite for another time. 1 Thessalonians, amen, every chapter, there's five chapters, I believe, in 1 Thessalonians, every chapter ends reminding us of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the responsibility that you have that affects you in your personal life now. Okay? So you might want to look at that sometime. Amen? But usually that's what I close the meeting out with. Amen? Not that I have necessarily a format, but usually sometime during the meeting I'm going to preach on the second coming. Because we need to be reminded Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
You that are saved, we're going to the judgment seat. You that are lost, you're going to be lost forever. Because, see, you've heard, and many of you have probably been dealt with by the Holy Spirit. And so that restrainer, as far as in that work, now he's going to still be here. He's taken out of the way, not out of the world.
Right.
If you're talking about being specific about the Bible and the English language,
that's right.
He's out of the way, not out of the world. Okay? Nobody's going to get saved without the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Okay? So, but in that light, the restrainer, the Holy Ghost, that's where even wickedness breaks out in the world like it does, and great tribulation, and there's monsters everywhere, and death everywhere, and plagues everywhere. The restrainer's been removed. I mean, most of the people that are saved, they're all gone. And so that influence of the Holy Ghost, buddy, is taken out. You better think about that, buddy. And I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. If you've heard the gospel, it's very probable, if not possible, you will never be saved.
That's right.
By the grace of God, if God the Holy Ghost has dealt with you. So you better listen. Jesus is coming back real soon. And you better listen to what you've heard this week. We couldn't have heard a better exhortation than what we heard last night. There's such a good spirit here. I mean, just last couple nights. It's just such a good spirit.
Yes, sir. It sure has.
Why won't you come? It's been asked several nights this week. You will not come to me that you might have life. Why won't you come? It has to be you. Amen? So James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. Tonight, the book of James chapter number 1. Read a couple of verses of scripture here tonight in your hearing. James chapter number 1 and verse number 26. If you're physically able to do so, we'll stand out of respect and reverence for the Word of God. Let's reach around my pocket, amen, and try and find this cough drop. If I get one of those quarters in my mouth, amen, I'll never quit preaching. Because
<Yeah.
laughs> it'll never dissolve, amen. And so, hallelujah. James chapter number 1, look at verse number 26. James chapter 1, verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Right.
I preached a message years ago. One of my friends, I didn't even know, it was probably for long years and years, that was the only message. It was on, one of the only messages on the internet, the World Wide Web, that I preached was, I preached on pure religion. What is pure religion? Amen. And this is not the message tonight, but it's a ministry tonight. That pure religion includes visiting the fatherless and the widows. Those nursing home ministries are important. You don't even have to have a nursing home ministry, amen. Get somebody on your heart that's helpless. And maybe somebody don't even visit, amen, and go and visit them and be a blessing to them. Visiting those fatherless and the widows.
Right.
There's a ministry there. In fact, I don't know, this church may not, and that's fine if it doesn't, but when you have deacons, amen, that's their job.
Right.
To make sure they minister to widows, amen. And to know if they're even qualified to be a deacon, they'll have that kind of heart anyway, amen.
Right. Yeah.
We put people in positions and then give them a job. We should be faithful, and then God give the pastor and the leadership of the church to choose from those that are faithful. And of course, what's missing, amen, among a lot of deacons, they're not filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's right, man. You're right.
Their children are undisciplined and unruly.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right. That's right, preacher.
Their wives are out of control and mouthy. Amen. Most deacons are disqualified.
Yeah, 100%.
I asked a pastor one time, I said, name me five people in this church that's filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Quiet.
Amen.
That's right, bro.
But we need to minister to those that are destitute and to keep himself unspotted. We're supposed to be undefiled people.
Right.
From the world. But this world, but it wants to put all kinds of spots
right.
on you. Amen?
That's right.
But that's not the message tonight. We're preaching from verse number 26. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. Everything is not as it seems. Everything is not as it seems. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, to help us not. Lord, give us the spirit of holiness and the spirit of Christ and the spirit of meekness. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd use us for your honor and for your glory. I pray that, Lord, Flowing Rivers Baptist Church, Living Waters Baptist Church, as I should say, Lord, we'd see old-fashioned revival. Lord, we do pray. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage this pastor, encourage this church, save the lost, revive the saints.
Yes.
We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. The word to seem, S-E-E-M, means to appear, to make or have the show or resemblance, to have the appearance of truth or fact, to be understood as true. Now here's what the Bible says, and here's our first point. We'll start right here in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious. We're not preaching at the First Baptist Church. We didn't get that opportunity this week, amen. We're preaching at the Living Waters Baptist Church.
Right.
The problem between this church and having revival tonight is right in this room.
Right.
Good, brother.
It's not the visitors that are not here.
Right.
Amen. They weren't able to come tonight. We thank the Lord that they did come this week. They added to the meeting. I thought they added to the meeting.
Sure.
And it's not the people that we invited and did not come. I wish my cousin was here tonight. I didn't hear from him. But, and listen, I should have probably had a greater responsibility of inviting him more earlier, but he chose to go to Denton, no doubt, to the car show instead of come here. But it's not his fault. The issues between us and revival is us that are right here tonight.
Right.
Because we can leave a semblance of being religious, amen, but it is not so. Everything is not as it seems. See, we see the natural results of self-deception. First of all, amen, there is conceit. Look in your Bible in Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. The book of Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, amen. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 3. Hearing those pages turning. Let's take our time tonight, amen. And I'll try to be done. Listen, it's almost 15 minutes till 8 there. And we'll try our best with the Lord's help, amen, to be done here in about 35 minutes. The Bible says, amen, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Yes, he does.
The problem with a lot of us, amen, we really think we're something.
Yes. Right.
Thank God we've heard preaching.
Help us.
Tim, thank God that there's been preaching that's went forth, and some of us, amen, have caught hold of it, and we've separated ourselves, and we've sanctified ourselves. But the only problem, amen, you can separate yourself from every worldly sin there is, but if you're full of pride, God sets himself against you.
Amen.
We don't need to get to the point. Listen, I'll tell you what. We've said something about this week, and I'm not down on every camp meeting, amen, but you go to these camp meetings and it's the world's worst. We strut around, strut our stuff, and we think we're really something. And the preachers fly in, they fly out, amen, and the meeting can't start till they're there, amen. And listen, friend, they can't sit and hear anybody else preach, amen, but you're supposed to pay attention. And one time I was preaching, and I said, some of you preachers have told us all week, amen, that we're supposed to get in the altar. I've not seen you in the altar all week.
Right,
brother.
That's right.
None of them guys asked me to preach. Amen.
Amen, brother. That's right.
But I'm going to tell you, friend, when did we think we've arrived?
That's right.
I don't care how long you've been saved, how holy you think you live, none of us have arrived.
Right.
And if we're not careful, amen, we'll be deceived by self because we're so conceited about ourselves. Right. We think we're really something.
Right.
Listen, I'm going to tell you what, we could get snared. May God help us. It's on the grace of God. It's on the grace of God our marriages are together.
Exactly right.
It's on the grace of God, amen, we're still in the house of God.
Amen.
It's on the grace of God, amen. We ain't got involved in some gross, hideous sin.
Right.
You say that couldn't be, that couldn't happen, amen. Let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall, amen.
Right, sir.
We better stay humble before our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let me hasten on. The natural results of self-deception, if any man seem to be religious. Mm-hmm. I tell you how it's manifest. It's not just in conceit, but in careless hearing. Careless hearing.
Oh, boy.
How long has it been since you really paid attention to what the preacher said? That you really heard from your heart what the man of God said. When's the last time you did anything about it, amen?
Right.
James chapter number 1 again. James chapter number 1 and verse number 22. The Bible says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Michael, people will come up to me and say, preacher, I believe what you preach. I don't practice it, but I believe it. You liar, you don't believe it.
Right.
You know everything that I truly believe I practice?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If we got to practice in this Bible as believers, amen, we'd be giants for God. How long has it been since you really paid earnest heed to the man of God and done something about it? Amen.
Man.
Amen.
That's right.
Careless hearing. These people seem to be religious. Amen. They're conceited. They're careless in their hearing. Amen. I was preaching years ago in Mississippi. It wasn't anywhere near down there where you used to pastor. I used to go preach years ago. But listen, it was up in northern Mississippi. And this guy, he was just gushing all over me, amen. And, oh, I've never heard preaching like that, amen. And I was staying in the pastor's home, and he wasn't trying to run his congregation out. He said, that man gives me the most trouble in the church. You know what he was trying to do? He was just trying to build me up and pump me up, amen. But listen, friend, he was a person that just seemed to be religious. He was putting on a front.
Right.
Most of the time when I go to churches and you're asked to go out to eat at their homes or at a restaurant, amen, I believe, and I'm not too smart about it, but I go to family restaurants, amen.
Right.
I wasn't even involved in the sin of alcohol, and I don't want to get involved in it.
Amen.
So I try to stay away. Or your grocery store, amen. I ain't got a choice in that, amen, but I don't have to sit next to a person drinking out of a tanker.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. And but you have to be careful. I like to take the pastor with me. It kind of quells him, amen. Not just eating the supper, but eating the preacher.
Right.
And running down the church. Amen. So I like to take the pastor along with me to the people's houses and eat, amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, what we need to do is be very earnest in our hearing. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Amen. Amen. We need to put the pedal to the metal. How long has it been? If you want revival, you can't be careless in your hearing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In Revelation chapter 2, he reminded them over and over again. I don't have it before me here, but several times he reminded the churches, if not, I think he reminded every one of the churches in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. By the way, you say, well, I ain't got a thing out of this meeting, amen. Well, God had something to say to you.
That's right.
Sure. If he's listening.
Exactly right. Right.
Probably God's got something to say to you out of every message. Well, I don't like his style. And I don't like this. And I don't like that. And I don't like eight points. And I don't like him. Hey, he's direct. And I don't like how he calls names. Hey. Hey, the Spirit has something to say to those that want to hear it. Amen.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Let's get on this. Amen. It'll convict us all. If any man seem to be religious, conceit, careless hearing, seemingly religious, unbridled tongue. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, that man's religion is vain. This lady came forward one time. She said, "Preacher, I want to lay my tongue on the altar." He said, "It'll take some time. We're going to have a building project and extend the altars."
Right.
Amen. But I tell you, his men are just as bad.
Right. Right.
Liar, liar. Your tongue's as long as a telephone wire. Amen. Unbridled tongues. One of the wonderful things. And I'm not saying I've got the corner on the market. Stay with me now.
Right.
We're talking about revival.
Yes,
amen. Some of you seize up. Amen. You like the pressure. And if it was God's will, and we'll say something about it at the end of the message, you like the pressure being put on these lost people.
That's right.
But I'm going to tell you, revival's for the saints of God.
Amen.
Right. That's right, brother.
And sometimes it don't end up too pretty.
You're right.
If we want revival, God has to deal with us.
Right.
And we can't let this tongue wag at both ends.
Right.
Even everything, Steve, everything you that comes through your mind in the pulpit is not always of God.
Right.
And it don't sometimes need to be said.
That's right. Right.
You're welcome.
Right. Amen.
Right.
This book is inspired. How many would say amen about that? This amen. King James Bible.
Right.
But that don't mean everything the preacher says that's not from this book and reading from this book is inspired.
Right.
And sometimes we can say a lot of stuff that kills it.
Yes, sir.
Right.
You can even say stuff in the wrong spirit. I've been preaching in the Spirit of God and said stuff. I said, well, I'm going to go over here and deal with this. And deal with this individual, man. And I come back, and the Spirit of God wasn't nowhere around.
Right.
You know why? You got to make sure this tongue's bridled, and what you're saying is led of God.
Yes.
That's right.
You want to tear your home all to pieces? Keep an unbridled tongue.
Right.
Keep railing on your husband. Rail on your wife. Tell her how sloppy she is. She may not keep the neatest home. Listen. I'm just giving you personal testimony, Sister Ashley. When we first got married, I drove my wife nuts. I would pick up every speck of paper on the carpet. My wife was in a nervous wreck, thinking that she couldn't be clean enough for me or anything else. And then we had kids. And you couldn't keep up with it all. Now listen, our home's not a disaster. It doesn't look like TNT's went off in it.
Right.
But everything ain't just so in your home. But you don't have to keep reminding your wife. She looks like a slob. Yeah, listen, she dresses like a slob. The home's a slob. Why don't you? Hey, you had some. Hey, man, you did have something to do with having that pack of heathens, amen. Why don't you help her a little bit?
Yeah. Right.
You say, I don't like that. To you, amen. Listen, I couldn't care less. Your wife needs some help sometime, you buzzard.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Man.
She's wore out. She's got a migraine headache. And you come the first thing to the door, railing on her with your unbridled tongue, you're going to end up in a divorce court.
Right. Right.
Well, I had the last word. Yeah, did you?
Right. It's good.
That's right.
Man, that helps.
I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. You better watch it, buddy. It's evident you don't have much to give.
Oh.
Good, brother.
If you're a husband, God may have called you to be the head of your home, but you ain't a bully.
Right.
Right.
You're supposed to. Amen. You keep looking that way, this point's going to get longer and longer. Amen. This point will make a message. How you like that, son? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, thank God, you're supposed to treat her like a queen. Amen.
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 Ma'am, you want a thoroughbred? Quit treating him like a donkey. Compliment your man sometimes.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you have to, lob it. No, I'm just kidding. Tell him how strong he is, amen. Tell him that he looks nice, amen. Tell him you appreciate him. Going out and bringing home the bacon, amen. Quit rattling on him all the time. Quit running him in Durham. Quit comparing him to everybody else. Look how they look. Hey, Bubba, you should have waited. You should have married them. But you didn't marry them. You married Harold.
Whoever Harold is.
He's got a pick on, amen.
Yeah.
His feet stink.
Yeah.
He picks his nose when nobody's looking. We're just being honest. He wasn't in the romance books.
He wasn't nowhere in there, but you married Harold. Love on him a little bit. Show him a little kindness, amen. You're married with him for better or for worse or for worse or for worse, amen.
Right. Amen.
That's right. Quit laying your tongue on him. Never give him a break.
It goes both ways.
That's right. Sure, that's right. Right.
Well, somebody said marriage is 50-50. I'm going to tell you, we both better be giving 100%.
That's right.
That's right.
Treat that little woman like a queen. I confess to you today, a short with you.
Man.
I'm not trying to build myself up as big. I'm as mean as a devil. And like, I'm as mean as a devil sometimes. I wouldn't want my, I'm not talking about desecrating my testimony. I wouldn't want my kids to testify sometimes.
Right.
Well, how they've seen my daddy and how they've seen my dad just go berserk.
Right, I agree. Yes, sir. I get it.
But you better say, I'm sorry.
Right.
Exactly.
Amen.
And just because she burnt the eggs and got yours over medium and you like them over easy, man, cut her a little bit of slack.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
I tell my kids, when we go somewhere and when that little woman spends time in the kitchen, I know these girls spend a lot of time helping her, y'all are becoming good cooks. Where's Rebecca? Becoming good cooks. Mama's teaching them to be little mamas.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I don't have to go nowhere else for good cooking. And I say, if you like it, eat it. If you don't like it, eat it and shut up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Somebody said one time I heard, well, my daddy, I'll tell you what he did. If he didn't like it, he went and threw it out the back porch. I'll tell you what he was a jerk.
That's right.
That's what he was. If your woman stood and cooked that, and you come in from work, amen, that ain't nothing to do, amen. Maybe you don't like, and I told my wife, when we first got married, she fixed a pepper chicken or something, amen. And I said, listen, I didn't try it. I said, I don't like it, I don't want no more. Amen. And she never fixed it again. Amen. I just didn't care for it. But you know what? When she fixes, I'm not trying to throw it, and nobody fixed lasagna this week. I don't prefer lasagna, amen. But when she fixes lasagna, I don't prefer it, but I ate three helpings anyhow. I'm going to be grateful. We don't have the model home. Don't think that, amen. But I'm going to tell you, hey, if you want to keep your home together, amen, listen, you can come in here, put in the dough, John Mark, amen, and your home be a shambles, amen. And as the home goes, so goes the church, amen.
Amen.
You may be putting on a show and seem to be religious, but if you've got an unbridled tongue, amen, listen, your religion's rotten.
That's right.
That's right.
That's exactly what it is. I said, I'm going to get up here tonight and I'm going to kind of like teach and keep buttoned up and keep my coat on. But good night, y'all think it's a polar vortex in here, amen. You ladies are freezing to death. I'm about to burn up.
Oh, yeah.
We even got John Mark. I know he's coming out of his park, amen. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, friend, we need to get a grip on this tongue.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Let's go over to James chapter number 3, since this looks like this is going to be the great big point. Amen?
Help us.
God.
James chapter number 3.
God, help.
An unbridled tongue can make your religion vain. Amen? My brethren, verse number 1. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. I know I'm perfect in Jesus Christ, but I don't believe in sinless perfection in the flesh. I was preaching one time to some of that crowd that did believe that. And I said, I'll tell you what. I know some of you ain't sinlessly perfect in the flesh because you can't shut your mouth.
Right.
Bible says that. If you want to be a perfect man, you're able to bridle the whole body. Many times, listen, friend, if we got a loose tongue, we are loose in a lot of other areas too. Amen.
Right.
You don't go around and tell off-color jokes, do you? I didn't chew much chewing tobacco. Well, I slipped around and chewed some, but not much. And I'm not proud of what I did, amen? But I'm going to tell you one thing. I was saying something one day my mom didn't approve of, and she literally made me take and wring the soap in my mouth. I don't know if it was Dial, Ivory, it all probably tasted. I was blowing bubbles. I was like a bubble machine, amen? Because she said, you're not going to have a dirty, filthy mouth, amen? And Miss Barbara, my mom's name was Barbara, amen? And but she put that little woman, little 5 foot, what was she, 5 foot two, three, four, or something like that. But she put that soap in my mouth and then it ringed it up in there. And she said, we're not going to have a dirty mouth. We're not going to have a dirty mouth.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they don't obey us, and we turn about their whole body. You know how that happens? We got all kinds of farmers here, amen, but some of you know where I'm going with this, amen. There ain't many of us that were actually farmers, amen, or can remember being on the farm. That bit and that bridle, it clamps down on that tongue. And you get a grip on that tongue, and you're able to guide that whole body. That's why you gee and ha and everything. Whoa, amen, hallelujah, because it's biting down. It's biting down on that tongue. We need a Holy Ghost bit and bridle on our tongues, amen. God tells us when to speak, and God tells us when to stop, we stop, amen, and use blessing. Listen, words of blessing and sometimes comfort instead of all time criticism
right.
And condemnation.
Right.
You say, I believe I ought to be as straight as a gun barrel. But the problem is, you're as cold as the steel it took to make it.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't have Jesus backing that all up, and it's done for the glory of God. I've seen people just like you go out and do atrocious things.
Right.
They get around when I was in their churches. I got news for you, Brother Rose. We don't do this, and we don't do that, and we don't condone this, and we look down on that. And guess what? Some of them same people, young ladies and I, are in the same things.
Right.
Worse things. You know what? It was all vain religion.
Right.
But they's going to brag. If you're godly and holy, you won't have to be tooting your horn.
Right. Right, brother. Right.
That's right.
Others will know you're godly and holy.
That's right.
Good.
Amen. I'm not against righteous preaching. I preach that way. But I'm against all these people, amen, that always want to brag about what they are, what they have done, what they have not done, amen. And if Jesus is not motivating any of that, amen, all it is vain religion.
Amen. Yes, brother.
That's all it is. Let's go on in our little text, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody turn the heat up, amen. Hallelujah. It's burning up here, amen. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And a big old ship, the Titanic,
been called the Gigantic, the Britannic, amen. All of those great ships back in the early 1900s, amen. Just a very small hymn on the back of that ship, amen, turned the whole ship. They said possibly, from what I read about the Titanic, possibly if seconds they had turned that ship, amen, seconds they had seen it earlier, they might have missed that iceberg. And that little hymn controlled that whole ship. And I'm going to tell you what controls you. That piece of wet flesh. So God so thought so much about it. I'll tell you what he did, Michael. He put walls of lips, walls of flesh, walls of ivory around it. Totally saturated it in saliva. And it still was hot as hell.
Right.
God put two guards on your tongue, lips, and teeth. I'm going to say it. Better make sure God wants you to say it.
That's right.
You can do irreparable damage. Yeah. Listen, I know I don't go to this church all the time as well as I don't go to other churches all the time. But I think in the ministry that God's given me to over the years, Tim, amen, that there were probably people that, listen, the pastor could have ministered to and the evangelist could have ministered to if people in the church hadn't run their mouths and run everybody out of the church.
That's right.
And there's been a few of the churches that, and it wasn't just because of the stand they took, because the people there didn't take such a good stand that was left. But everybody was gone but them. Because they wouldn't keep their mouths shut.
That's right.
While you're listening real good, amen, we'll talk to you.
Amen.
All of us here don't agree on every little thing. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's the preachers. Right. We agree on cardinal things, but we don't agree on everything.
Right.
And some of this stuff, I don't care what you said, and I'm not being smart on it. I don't care. I love Brother David, but if he gets up great, it won't change my mind real bit. Some of this stuff's nitpicky.
Right.
And it ain't worth arguing over, and it ain't worth embarrassing people over.
Right. That's right, brother.
You are welcome. Because I don't preach, Bubba, just to preach again. Right. And it's nitpicking stuff. Right. You ever met these preachers? I mean, I'm not talking about anybody in this meeting. That, amen, they feel it's God's ordained plan to get up if you don't even say something or don't even explain a certain doctrine fairly, amen. You might just hit it in passing. You take a racket, amen. Just pow, hit it in passing, Brother Church. But they feel they're God's gift, amen, to correct everybody. And they get up, amen, and straighten you out before they preach.
Right.
In my flesh, I'd like to kick the rear end.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
Amen. I grew up, amen. I went to government school, amen. And I found out it's easier to take somebody down a flight of stairs than have a couple on top of you, amen. Right. So I started kicking people's butts. They taught me to be a fighter. And I ought to not be like that, amen. But they feel they're God's gift, amen.
Right.
You know what we need to do? Sometimes, amen, you can take somebody aside and help them a lot better.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Exactly right.
It's going to be quiet.
Amen.
Amen. I don't always know where I'm going in my message, amen, but I tell you what, I believe this is a message.
Amen. It's good, brother.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
You better watch yourself in your marriage, amen. And all them words you say. Well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt. Words hurt, buddy.
That's right.
Exactly right.
You have some of your best loved ones get up in your face and say, I hate you. I hate you. Words hurt.
Right, it does.
And they may not dig down mean that, but it hurts, buddy. You better come to grips on this thing. What you say better be led of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Or you know what it does? You can build a testimony and everybody can think you're really religious according to the Bible, but the Bible says it makes it all void.
That's right.
Now, us preachers have a platform. Amen. We get the platform. I understand that. And we're supposed to have a word from God. Amen. But I've got to be careful. See to myself, amen. Whether you're not right with God or not saved, I got to be careful. My words will either draw you to the Lord or drive you away.
That's right.
What if I'm the last preacher you ever hear? I got to be careful.
Amen.
I don't care whether you think I'm a great preacher, but I want to leave you an impression that I've got a good Lord.
Amen. That's right.
And I've got to be careful about that.
I know what it was to go through what they was talking about. Bitterness. I know what that is.
I'm going to tell you, it's a dangerous thing when a preacher goes through it. Because you know what he does? He dumps venom on everybody if he's not in control of the Holy Spirit.
Yep. Help us.
Sister pastor's wife, amen. What he does, amen, when he preaches, it'll bleed through his preaching, amen. And I mean, he'll throw that hate on everybody. Because he can't reach that person that he's bitter against. And so he takes it out on everybody else.
Hey.
We gotta be careful. This ain't a game. Heaven and earth outweigh, they're waiting out the outcome of this. And we got to be careful that we're led of the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Amen.
That's good.
There's been times, not every time, but sometimes in my preaching, I wanted to say something. The Holy Spirit reined me in.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
And I said, I can't say that.
Sure. Yes.
I wanted to say it. I wanted to unload on somebody. Yep. The Holy Spirit said, no, you can't
That's
do
right.
that.
Yes, sir.
That's right. You say, well, you're a compromise. Shut up. Some of you don't even know me. You have no, you don't
That's
even
right.
know me.
That's right.
You know?
Amen.
It's more important to please God than please anybody else.
Right.
It's important, more important for me to please God than get an aura of a camp meeting, amen, where it may be really something to use coarse language and everything else and grieve God and grieve the Spirit. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Verse number 5, boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Your tongue can defile the whole body. Because you know what? The tongue is manifesting what's in your heart.
That's right.
Really, oh, that was just a slip. No. It's down here, and what's down there is regurgitating and coming up. You can't help it. It comes out somewhere.
Right.
It defileth the whole body and set on fire the course of nature and set on fire hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tame, and hath been tamed to mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. For therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And we could go on and on and on.
Oh, yeah.
There ain't none of us that can take James chapter 3.
No.
It cuts us to the very heart because it starts right inside our mouth.
That's right.
Sometimes we get to talking. And I tell you what, I've got such a big mouth. We use it as a platform just to run down everybody.
and everybody don't just agree just so with us, amen, they're lost and damned for hell. And that ain't necessarily so.
Right.
That's not necessarily so. Amen. And we'll run everybody down. And listen, people that hear that, and our children that hear that, and I've probably done it to my own children.
Right.
And if they ever hear those men preach, they'll never have confidence in their message.
Right, brother.
You know why? Because I've used my tongue to destroy that man.
That's right.
No, my message ain't. My message don't make the top 10, amen. But listen, it's not a contest.
That's right, brother. Sure is.
We need revival. It's what we need.
Right.
And when you have conceit and careless hearing and an unbridled tongue, amen, he said, this man's religion is vain. He seems to be religious, but he does not bridle his own tongue. How about our brothers and sisters in Christ? I know some of you don't even claim to be saved, amen. But listen, we ought to treat you right too.
Right.
Right,
if you're living in sin, I don't agree with that.
Right.
I don't condone that. Nope. But listen, if you're a sinner, or to show the love of Christ toward every one of you.
That's right.
I'm not better than you. If it wasn't for the grace of God, Michael, John Mark, and I'm not going to go into it, and can you understand? I hate to even know what people are about to be involved in. The Holy Spirit will lead the man of God. He don't even have to be told that stuff.
Right.
But if it wasn't for the grace of God, some of the things I got involved with John Mark, I'd be worse than all of you.
Right.
If it hadn't been for the grace of God.
Amen.
I grew up in a strict home. I was whipped. Not abused, but I was whipped for doing a lot of things
right.
that they caught me doing. They corrected thoroughly
right.
and disciplined. But I went and did them anyway.
Right.
And I wish I never had it.
Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely.
I tell my kids, you don't have to go. You don't have
that's
to ever
right.
look at a pornographic magazine.
Man,
that's pornographic right. video. You don't have to look at any of that to be saved. You don't have to go down to the very depths, what we call the depths of sin, because some people never come back.
That's right.
I'm going to tell them to shut evil. It's
amen.
New evil.
Amen.
Preacher, brother.
I thank God. God was merciful.
Amen.
I had some people that loved me
how about that?
And preached to me.
Amen.
And my mom prayed for me. And I wanted to do a miracle. A lot of people think I've been in the military. You know what? To God be glory, I have discipline.
That's right.
I'm a disciplined person. I'm a uniform person. Amen. I don't like looking like a soldier. You can say what you want to.
Amen.
I started out buying suits a good deal and everything else, amen. But I'm a disciplined person. I don't like looking like a slob. I don't look too good after I get done preaching. Amen. But I'm a disciplined person.
Yeah.
But I never was in the military, but that was my aim. And if I'd probably made that decision, I might have been gone world without end and joined the Marine Corps, and I might have never come back. Never!
Right.
But God saved me as an 18-year-old sinner.
Amen.
Because I had parents that loved me. And number one, I had a Savior that loved me. And I thank God for the teaching they taught me. I'm not better than anybody. I'm going to tell you what. I hate sin. I have a holy hatred for sin.
Amen.
You young girls, listen to me. You young kids, listen to me.
Oh.
You don't want to get involved
That's
in
right.
sin.
Amen.
You don't want to get involved. It always pulls you down,
yes.
down to the very depths. And then the devil just spits gets you out. And you'll find just like that man in the book of Luke.
His friends wasn't nowhere around when he was penniless, filthy, covered with pig, you know, feces all over him, and eating the corn cobs out of the filth. And they wasn't nowhere around then.
That's right, brother.
But he said, I've got a father.
Yes, sir.
I'll remember I've got a father. Now, I know it's a Jewish truth, amen. And he's speaking for Jewish truth. But thank God, I'm glad he had a father. And thank God, I believe he was looking down the road for him, amen.
Right, sure was, brother.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
He was looking for him. And he came, what West Country folks, he came a traipsing up the road one day. And he came repentant.
That's right,
amen. I'll return to my father and say, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Hallelujah. And you know what he expected? Come here, Luke. I won't hurt you.
Did you lay down right here?
Lay down right here. Maybe where some of the people could see.
How about that?
Lay down right here on the podium. Just lay down. Really, he'd be turned up. Could you turn over? You know what he expected? When that son, that rebellious son came, he was to be killed. You're talking about the law, buddy. And what he was expecting when he said, I'm coming back. He was expecting that father, he'd put his foot on his throat. They'd lead him out of the city and they'd stone him. But he didn't feel the father's foot on his throat.
Right.
When you're under conviction, God puts the foot on your throat, amen. But I'm going to tell you what he wants to lead you to. Just like that, what we call the prodigal son, amen. He got down and he kissed him, amen. And he didn't feel the foot on the throat. He felt the kisses on his neck. You can get up, Luke.
Amen.
That's what he wants to do to you.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. You've wandered far away from God. Why don't you say, I'm coming home. I'm cool.
Yeah, brother.
I'm tired of the hope, man. I'm tired of the slump. I'm tired of the husk of this world. I wrote my Bible back in Bible school. Why settle for the husk of this world when you have the fatted calf, glory to God?
Amen.
Amen.
You have the fatted calf.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And he deserved judgment.
That's right.
He had disgraced his father. I won't go into it. But one of the things that's really troubled me about all this, it's hurt our testimony in where we live. You say, well, that's pride. It means something to me. The rose name means something to me. Our testimony means something to me, amen.
Yes, sir.
It means something to me where I live. But really, the testimony of Christ is what's at stake. And he didn't get what he deserved, judgment. He got kisses. And he put a ring on his finger.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I never had been much on rings.
Yes, sir.
I got my ring, amen. Some graduation there for high school. It's the only ring I've had outside of this one, amen. And I got my ring there. It was so cumbersome. I said, put that in the thing. And I think she took it away from me, amen. Hallelujah. Because I didn't have a college ring, amen. No, most people didn't think I went to college. Well, I preach it. I don't think I went to college school anyway.
That's right.
And I didn't get one then, amen. But I want to tell you one thing. Hallelujah. He put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. And he didn't say, go down there to Goodwill, the Salvation Army. And I'm not throwing off. I bought a lot of clothes from there for me and my family, amen. In the thrift store. He said, you bring out the, hey, man, I don't know the day left. I'm not sure, but the day left, he may have went shopping, amen.
That's right.
He may have went
away, man. You pick out the best one. And you coat him, amen. Put it all over that. All that pig slop. Stuff like that.
Amen.
That's what God wants to do for you.
That's right.
You're majoring on all the negatives.
Yes, sir.
God cares about you. And God loves you. And he wants to save you. And let me say, Saint of God, he wants to salvage your life from the wreck you've made of it and revive you, help you. Everything's not as it seems. See, there's spiritual poverty. He says, thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, I'm done, and have need of nothing. I'm not going to preach it, amen. I said it's going to be done, I'm quitting. Amen. Everything's not as it seems. Everything's not as it seems. Any man seem to be religious and bridles not his own tongue, this man's religion is vain. It's vain. Amen? Let me just mention them. Everything's not as it seems. Amen? You know, when you think about the body of Christ, I'm going to preach it, we're all important. You say, well, I'm just a little, what I call a little pinky toe. You're important in this church. We can't do without you. You get over there studying Corinthians, amen, and it talks about the body of Christ, amen. It says everything's important. Amen. You go without, hey, you go with your hand possibly fractured. Tell you like that. I'm not trying to ask you to feel sorry for me, amen. I mean, oh, buddy, I've been bathing that thing in Epsom salts. Amen. Yeah, I've been taking care of it. Isn't it amazing how we do it with this body? And I get Epsom salts in the tub, amen. And I bathe it with my bad hand and put it over my bad toe. I just love it. I just love it. I cherish it. Yes. And then we get to the body of Christ. And we want all kinds of schism in the body. Smile right there. But the Bible says it's all important. We're all important. Everything's not as it seems. Chastening's not everything it seems. You get to the, God's going to correct you and whip on you and beat on you and scourge on you. But he says it's not everything that it seems to be. Because I'm going to tell you, the Father loves you. And he wants you to have the peaceable fruits of his righteousness. Ain't that good? Don't you think that'd be something good Zane to have? So he's going to correct you. I'm not talking, he's not going to beat on you. He's not going to take a stick, amen, and just weld your back to the welts come out, amen. But I'm going to tell you what, he is going to lovingly discipline you if you don't do right. If you're truly saved, he's going to discipline you.
Better believe it.
Amen. But I'm going to tell you, he's not going to abuse you.
That's why it's not
per se. Because you know why? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He's a loving father.
Lord of God.
Everything's not as it seems. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death.
Right.
It's a way that seems right. But it's the wrong way to go if you're going to go to heaven. Everything's not as it seems. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time. I've said it all this year, various meetings where we've felt your touch and enjoyed the preaching, and listened to the men of God that buried their hearts, and the Spirit of God went forth. And it just seems like it gets to Wednesday end and it just flies by Thursday, Friday, and it's over with. Man, I tell you, how it behooves us, Lord, to do business with God when God's dealing with us. These meetings go by just too fast. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for letting us be a part, my family be a part. Try to be a part, try to help this pastor and edify this pastor and build up his church and, Lord, build up the things of God here. I pray that, Lord, this meeting this week, even this weekend, that, Lord, it would be a strength for Brother David and, Lord, Living Waters Baptist Church. Lord, I pray, Lord, you speak to each heart. If there's people here that are not right with God, which some profess that that's the case, And God, I pray that they would find a place of repentance. And Lord, I pray for saints of God that they do business with God. Have your will and way.